Open with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is the Luke chapter 2, the story of the birth of Christ here. And we can consider it tonight, of course. Of course, right? What else are we going to preach on Christmas Eve and the birth of Christ? But actually, we could go way ahead in the story and think in Revelation chapter 21 that there is something. This is like a wild thought, right? That there is something coming out of heaven in Revelation chapter 21, and it's a city that is made by God, and it is constructed by God in God's dwelling place. Have you ever seen someone with a very impressive workshop, whatever level it could be, right? I remember being at someone's house and she did a lot of crafts, arts and crafts, and she had the most unbelievable arts and crafts room I've ever seen. Like floor to ceiling, little bins and labels and unbelievably organized. I was impressed. Then I've been to a barn out in Western Mass where they deconstruct old Shaker barns and then reconstruct them and repair them and ship them out all across the United States. It was an impressive workshop to say the least. Unbelievable. There was chisels that were like this wide. I was just shocked. But there is a workshop in heaven that is God's place, and he is constructing something. And that is coming here to earth. If you read in Revelation 21, when Christ comes to reign on the earth, and it is the new life, and it is his, it's called New Jerusalem. Yeah, okay. This is the place where God will dwell with his people. It says in Revelation 21 verse 3, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them." The tabernacle of God is with man. This is what God is looking forward to. This is what God has been planning. This is what has been prepared. And long before this, our earth spun and sin came into the picture and, the fall, and long before the cross, there was prepared, this city, this tabernacle of God. And his goal was that it would be with man. But now here we are in Luke chapter 2, where Christ is born. Humbly. We say humbly he is born. Verse 1, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This census first took place while Quirinius, forgive the pronunciation, was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Joseph is a carpenter, young guy, engaged to Mary, young lady, but his lineage, he's of the family of David, King David. Isn't that shocking? It's like royalty. How many people, I mean, I think we all have these stories in our lives, right? Everybody's related to royalty in some capacity, right? Like apparently Becca Pilling is like a Nigerian princess or something. Wasn't that your, like you, it's something, right? We all have something. Like the story in the Norman family. There's like this folklore in the Norman family that nobody knows because they've all passed. And, that I know. No, we're here. Everyone who knows the story is passed. But there is, my grandfather had the family ring, the family crest. And whatever happened in the family, he wanted to get away from it. So he walked out in the backyard one day and just threw the ring as far as he could into a field. And nobody's been able to find it. And nobody knows what the family crest is. And why was my grandfather so upset? But among us, or my cousins, we've determined that he was some kind of prince or some kind of king or something. I don't know, in England. But Joseph here, it has no value, no weight, no merit to that opinion. But Joseph here actually is of the family of David. And you can see the lineage in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Christ. You can follow it all the way through 14 generations from Adam to, to someone else, to Babylon, to captivity, and then from captivity, anyway, you can read it yourself. Forgot it already. But here we are in Luke chapter 2, and this is, so they go to Bethlehem to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This verse struck me this week, and I think if we've listened to any Christmas messages, we've heard this theme repeated over and over again. And I read that verse and I said, I can't. I've heard, you know, messages on that verse. I can't preach on that verse. But then I couldn't get it out of my heart. And this sentence, there was no room for him. That there was no room for him. And can you imagine Christ and God, the creator of all of this? It says that Christ, through him, all things consist. It says that he holds all things together by the power of his word. Like, this is God incarnate. It is bigger than a hotel room. It is bigger than like a little veranda or whatever on the lake or in Bethlehem. I don't know. Airbnb, whatever, booked up. It's bigger than that, but it's God, and he is coming. And can you imagine that the sustainer, the creator and the sustainer of everything has no place to be? That every place that is, every space that is from him. It has proceeded from him. He spoke it out of his creativity, and it existed. But there is no place for him. And it's a shocking thought. And I think a good question for us as we are considering Christmas is that, do we have place for Christ? Is there room for him in our life? And if not, how do I make room for Christ in my life? And what is he looking for? What kind of edifice is he looking for? What kind of structure is he moving into? What kind of cathedral is he looking for? I think this story says it all. That actually a manger is just fine. A little hollowed out cave is enough. That he's not looking for the perfect temple. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 7 with King David, here, like, it connects to the story, because who is in David's family? Pop quiz. Yes, Jesus. Good answer. That's a good Sunday school student there. Jesus is the answer to every single question. Joseph and Jesus are of the lineage of David. A promise is given to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that a kingdom would be given to him and a throne would be given to him, and it would be forever. And David is there in the beginning of the chapter. David is there resting, reclining in his brand new house. Beautiful, beautiful new house, cedar boards. I can imagine the most elaborate, the most intricate, every amenity that they could possibly have. He's there and he's resting in there, and he says, wait a second. He's considering God, and he's considering the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and it's outside and it's in a tent of like goat hair, badger fur. How many people have a goat hair coat? No, not many, right? It's not beautiful. It's not fine. It's not like sought after. Well, this is where the presence of God is dwelling. And David has it in his heart. He said, I need to build something glorious for God. Look at me. I am in this amazing house that is built. The resources are from all over the region, that everybody has recognized my kingdom and they have given gifts, and I have built this amazing structure. Now I'm embarrassed, he says. God is in a tent, right? He's out in the backyard in a tent. So Nathan says, do whatever's in your heart, go and do it. But that night, God comes and he speaks to Nathan, and he says, tell David that he doesn't need to build me anything. He said, in God speaking to Nathan, he said, when did I ever ask for anything made out of cedar? When did I ever ask for you to build me something that I needed? Like, is God's place among us in some structure that we have created? No, it's not. Actually, God's place among us, how God wants to be present among us, is in the space that He has created for Himself. That He's created us in the image and the likeness of God in Genesis 1. That we are created by God for what? For God. As a dwelling place for God. Do we know that? Do we think about that? Is there a place for Him in our life? Imagine that God comes to us and He says, where can I go? Here is Joseph and Mary and they have Jesus and where can we go? There's no place found for Him. There's no place here for Him. But He created it all. He has a right to it. He actually is sovereign over all of it. No, there is no place for Him here. And I look at the world today, I look at what's happening, and every preacher ever has said this. It's not just exclusively this year, although it's been one, right? But we look at the world and we say, where is the place for Christ? There are many Christs in this world. There are many ways that we put Jesus on little pedestals and we lift Him up in different ways. But are they accurate? Are they true for what He is? And are they recognizing who He is? And are they giving place to the reality of who He is? We had a conversation with a woman in line at Marshall's the other night. Riley and I had a conversation with a woman about reality. It was fascinating, about reality. We were having a conversation and the woman overheard. She was eavesdropping. She was very rude. And she just popped right in and she said, I appreciate the conversation you're having with your daughter. And I said, thank you. It's reality. This is what we talk about. And she goes, oh, that's an interesting idea. Reality. We can live in our own reality, can't we? Have you ever been guilty of it? All the time, right? We can live in our own reality and think that we are okay with everything and everything is okay with us. But there is a reality, and that is God's reality. And are we making room for His reality in our life? The churches we see today, there are many inaccurate realities in these churches. And I'm not here to be critical. I'm not. I don't want to be. But we can also, it's not that I'm being critical, it's that they plainly tell you what they are. Like a church that does not have Christ. In a Christ in my life that is there to tell me I'm okay. Like I want Christ in my life to be my biggest cheerleader. I want Christ in my life to just make me feel good. I want Him to just say, hey, you're doing good, buddy. Like keep it going. No, that's not the reality of things. But Christ is the one who comes to us with the message that we don't want to hear. And that is that we are lost. And that if we continue in our own reality, then we will miss His reality forever. Right? And we have said, okay, I will build your reality, God, and you will be welcomed into it. And He says, no, no, no. And He says to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I called you out of the sheepfold. You were a shepherd. I called you out of the sheepfold. And what did He said? I was with you wherever you, I have been with you wherever you have gone. That's it. That's it. God is looking for an active place in our life. When Christ comes, there is this, like here it is that He comes into Bethlehem. There's no place for Him. There's no place for Him. And He says, that's fine. I'll take the manger. The simplicity of the manger, the common faith of our life. Like this is perfect. This is all that is needed is a place for Him to dwell among His people. Because the truth is He's got it prepared. He has a tabernacle prepared. And in time, it will come here and it will be a part of our reality also. And that's amazing to think about. Are we all okay? We good? It's really busy back there. Really busy. The temple is coming. The tabernacle is coming. God's reality is coming. It will come down and we will dwell with God. Can you imagine? And we will say, oh, that's the place. But now, what is the place? The place is you and I. That he came to dwell among his people. He came as a baby so he could be born, so he could die, so that we could have life, and that we could have life in him. And that we would not be trying to construct the perfect edifice for him. That we would not be putting together the perfect life so that he could say, okay, now I will come to you. This is the attempt that we make. He's there knocking at the door and we say, I'm sorry, there's no place for you. I'm getting it ready. And he says, no, you don't have to get anything ready. I created the space that I want. All you have, and you have the freedom to say yes. Like I have created in you the space that I, for myself. And if you will recognize that and you will just say, yes, come into this mess of a life of mine, then he comes in and he says, this is exactly where I want to be. An active place, a priority place in my life. Because it's easy for us to have Jesus to be like in an inactive part of our life. On Sunday morning, maybe, or, you know, I don't know, whatever our little structure is. But then I go about my day and then I say, okay, it was good being with you, Jesus. Just hang tight. I'll see you next week, right? Unless it's vacation, then I'm sorry, right? But no, he's like David, I called you out of the sheepfold and wherever you went, I went with you. And this is the way God is with us. And we say, I don't have a place. I don't have anything. And he says, no, I have prepared myself the perfect place in you. And we say, it's just a manger. Like it's just this dusty bag of bones. Like I don't know what. It's not acceptable. And he says, perfect, perfect, perfect. My glory will be revealed there. I will make myself known there. I will teach you there. I will lead you there. I will feed you there. And we say, Lord, it's not much. He says, I didn't ask for much. I didn't ask for anything from you. I have everything prepared that will blow your minds. The 12 gates of pearls, the levels, the topaz, the beryl, the onyx, like the streets of gold, the whole thing. The temple is coming. Trust me, it's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. And we say, well, in the meantime, do you mind if I do this? No, I don't want you to do anything for me. I want you to recognize that I am here for you. Is there room for me? And we say, I don't know. I don't know if there's room for you. I don't know. And he says, well, like I could be a part of your life. I could be a part of your plans. Imagine that. Oh Lord, there's no room for you in my plans. They're locked tight. I already have them prepared. I have the next 10 years planned. There's no room for you. Hey, take it easy. You're going to throw things off. Right? And he says, I've called you and I want to go in and out with you. And this faith is better with me. The unpredictability of life is solid with me in it. When I am in the place and there is room for me there in your marriage, is there room for Christ in your marriage? I asked myself that question the other day. There needs to be a place for Christ in my marriage. Like where is the covering? Where is the blessing? Where is the authority in my marriage? But it's in giving space to Christ in my marriage. In my finances, is there room for Christ in my finances? Or is my wallet closed up so tight? Right? Jesus, whoa. We'll do devotionals in the morning, but don't touch my money. Whoa. And he says, wow, okay. Like what do you think? I want it? You think I need it? Like, what am I going to like, you know, are you waiting to have something in your bank account and then you can show it to me or something? What do you think I need? The cattle on 1,000 hills, you should see the temple. The temple that I have prepared is made of precious stones and perfect gold. Like, what do you think I need? Materials, I don't care. The place that I have where I want to be is in your heart. In your heart. So that your heart is properly related to me. So that it can be properly related to money. If your heart is properly related to me, it can be properly engaged in your marriage. Like, this is the beauty of finding a place for Christ in my life. So I think that's our question for ourselves to consider on Christmas. How do I find room for Christ in my life? How do I? Do I need to build the room? Do I need to perfect everything? No, I need to all I need to do is recognize him in my life. And that's all he's looking for. It's amazing. The stable works. How many people feel like a dusty old slobbered on manger? The feeding trough. Imagine that, where God is born is a place where they put hay so animals can eat out of it. Wow. And we think he needs something. Yeah, like he's like, that's fine. What do you talk? I don't need, it's fine. Just, I need you. I want your heart. I want to be with you in everywhere you go and everything that you do. And I want to be recognized as the Lord. And I'm not there to restrict you. I'm not there to confine you. I'm not there to control you, but I'm there to give you life in all of it. The shepherds found this. You continue the story in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds found this. And they heard the story of the angels in the sky. The whole sky opens up with angels singing. And they said, go, right? Go, go, chapter 2, right? Go, go. And they said, what are we going to do? They went immediately and they found him. They found Mary, Joseph, and the babe, it says. They found him. Why did they find him? Because they went. That's it. They didn't say, well, we're kind of, you know, we smell like sheep. Like we don't look that good. We're like shepherds, you know, I haven't shaved in 3 weeks. Like, you know, I don't think we could go visit a king right now. But what did they do instead? They just went. And can you imagine the joy of God as the shepherds are excitedly approaching the manger? And then what is the impact? They go, they leave the manger and they go and they tell everybody about what they have heard and what they have seen. And it's amazing. So let's find room for Christ in our life. Yeah, it starts with salvation. Salvation is finding room for Christ in your life and receiving the work that he has done. That Christ came and he died for you and he is offering the gift, and he doesn't say, show me you're worth it. Show me your value before I give you my life. No, the value is determined. The value is set. He loves us. We are worth dying for. He died for us because of love, not because of our ability to do anything for him. So the first way I find room for Christ in my life is that I believe in him. I trust him for my eternal security. I trust him and he gives me life. And then I take the next step of faith and I say, I don't know. I don't even know what it means to be a Christian. I see all these other people and they look like real Christians. I see Armindo and I say, whoa, 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 that guy's the real deal. Right? And I think I could never. Well, what can you do? Make room for Christ in the next step you take by faith and allow him to blow your mind. Allow him to amaze you. Allow him to lead you in worship, and then find yourself bringing him into your life. And making room for him in everything that you do, in your business, in your relationships, in your raising of your children, all of this stuff, find room for Christ in it. Because when we do, he fills the space that he has prepared there. And then he brings us into the place that he has prepared. Right? That's the amazing thing. He comes in the end, the return of Christ. He comes. And then we are with him. And it is all about what he has done for us. Read the book of Revelation. We're along for the ride. He doesn't look at us and say, what do you think we should do here? Right? Hey, Sean, what should we do next? Right? He's not looking. He just says, check this out. Right? But now we have the opportunity and time to make room for him and worship him for who he really is, the creator, the sustainer of everything. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this season that we're in. Thank you so much for the attention span that you've given us. Hallelujah. Or the little capacities that we have. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody here who's never received Christ, you've never you've never received the gift of salvation, just say this prayer in your heart if you want to be saved. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I give you place in my life. Come, deliver me, save me. Give me the gift of eternal life. And if you've said that prayer, just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless our worship now as we adore you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. So we have the masked rangers here handing out candles. Please, as much as physically possible, we'll keep the wax off the seats. I mean, you know, just, you know, but we're going to enjoy our time and we'll sing. I don't know. We'll sing five or six songs and just enjoy this time.
You want one?
Amen. Beautiful. This is like the best of you, the candles. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. Christ is here. Isn't that amazing? Christ has come. And we have all the busyness is gone, right? Hopefully. You got it all done. No more grocery store stops. But all the business. Now we have like enjoyment of the season, the presence of God among us, the joy of being together. So, just hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is here. We found room for him. Look at us here on Christmas Eve. We found room for Christ. Isn't that beautiful? 2020. Let the hopes and fears of all the years. Wait, what is it? What was that line? They met on him that night. How about that? That's true, isn't it? It's true that Christ is with us. What could be greater than him? What is moreover, what can overcome Christ? Nothing. And we are in Christ. So we rest in that truth. And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Oh, man. That was a hearty Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this year. Thank you for this season. Thank you for the time that we're living in that you've called us to. You put us on a mission in this time. Thank you for everyone who's traveled and had the opportunity to be with family. Bless the gatherings tomorrow and tonight, Lord, that your presence would be there. Salvation would be there. Room for you would be there, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We anticipate your return, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We have rest in that truth. Thank you. We just lift up all of our cares, all of our burdens, all of our stresses, all of our sorrow, all of our things we lift up to you, Lord. God, take it. It's too heavy for us, Lord. We are weak and we are heavy laden. So we come to you and ask that you would take our things, Lord. Give us only what we can bear. Thank you. Thank you. Give us rest in our soul. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's it.